Welcome back to the show. Harrison Ford is here with us. Of course, we're going to take a look at some footage from his new motion picture, The Blade Runner. Also in this half hour, a tour of Times Square, and the president of Ronco Teleproducts, Ronald Popeil. You guys did a couple of films together, I know, back in the
Ron and I, yeah.
What is The Blade Runner? What does that title mean?
It's the name of the police unit to which the character I play is assigned.
Mm-hmm. And is this a movie that takes place in the future, present?
40 years in the future, mm-hmm. On Earth, in recognizable surroundings. Not so much science fiction as a little bit of futurism blended with a detective story.
Uh-huh. How do things seem to be 40 years from now?
It's no musical comedy, David.
All right, action fans, this is The Action Room, the internet's best geek culture podcast, and I'm Tony Wolf, and I'm really excited. We got a great show for you today. We got a great show. Oh, my God. Oh, shit, sorry,
Tony,
producer
Tony.
Mike, I just fell off my chair.
Tony, calm down.
Hold on, I'm going to get it.
I'm
so excited to be the host of The Action Room.
I know you. First of all, it's co-host. And secondly,
yeah,
I know
co-host,
you're excited.
Whatever, yeah.
I know you're excited, but just calm down. We do have an exciting show.
Oh
but,
my gosh, it's so exciting.
One thing at a time, who are we? What do we do?
Right. Yes, okay, so we're The Action Room. And we're an awesome geek pop culture podcast, and I'm Tony Wolf,
and I'm producer Mike, and you can go to our Facebook, follow us on Twitter.
Yeah.
Now the exciting thing, next episode.
Yeah.
Olivia Munn. We interviewed her at Midtown Comics, so check it out.
At midnight at Midtown Comics.
July 16th. Next episode. Be there or be squared.
Squared.
Get it.
Is she a cube?
Well, it's just a geek reference. You know?
Oh, okay.
Instead of be there, be square.
She was very cool. We were so thankful to have the interview.
But that's next episode. But later on the show, Nerd News.
Oh, the Nerd News. It's awesome. I'm so excited about everything.
And we have another exciting guest that we're going to tell you about in a bit. But,
yeah!
But I was just wondering, like, what have you been up to, Tony, like in the last few days?
Well, you know, producer Mike, I don't often go on vacations. But, you know, I try to save money and everything. But this summer, I decided I'd treat myself. You know, I just got insurance at my job,
uh-huh.
health insurance and dental insurance. I went to the dentist, and it was amazing.
But, awesome.
They actually paid for all my dental work.
Wow.
It's the first time that's ever happened.
The dentist himself paid for
it. The dentist paid for it. He shelled out money out of his wallet. But before I went to the dentist, I took a little vacation. I went out west, and it was great. I mean, I so rarely go on vacations, but now it's like I've seen things that you people wouldn't believe. I mean, I saw on this vacation, producer Mike, I saw attack ships on fire off the shoulder of Orion, you know, like Orion's belt, and I watched sea beams glitter in the dark near the Tannhauser Gate. I mean, can you beat that on a vacation? I mean, if I don't record these now, all these moments will be lost in time, like tears in rain, like the action room in the ether of the internet. It's time for me to die. Do you get what we just referenced?
I was going to say, the sad thing is some people actually haven't seen this classic movie.
Wow.
Now, we just spent about 10 minutes spoofing.
Should we tell them what it is?
Blade Runner.
Yeah!
Now, I have to say...
Blade
now,
Runner!
Okay, before we get into the love of Blade Runner, we actually have... he's going to be coming in to the Action Room studio.
Something
itself,
else I was so excited about.
Yeah. Is William Sanderson.
Oh,
now,
William
you might,
Sanderson.
You might be like, now, who's William Sanderson? But now, if you saw Blade Runner, you would know J.F. Sebastian.
Oh.
He plays the genetic engineer, the meek... You know, aging,
premature
aging, who lives with the toys that kind of walk around like humans, little midgets and stuff. And he is, he created the replicants and stuff. And he's amazing in that. Also, he was known for Larry in Newhart,
and
where
Bob
his
Newhart
big line was, what does he say? Hi, I'm Larry. This is my brother Daryl, and this is my other brother Daryl.
And the Daryl brothers never say anything.
They never say anything. Yeah. And he always introduces himself like that. After, obviously, everybody knows this, but he keeps doing it. And I loved Newhart as a kid. A lot of people might not know Newhart either.
I saw it a little bit when I was a kid.
And he was also more recently, he's been in a million shows like Knight Rider and stuff like that, but recently he was in Deadwood, and right now he's on True Blood as the Sheriff Bud Dearborn.
He looks like a Bud Dearborn.
He does.
He hasn't been on the show in a while, but who knows if he'll return.
And he, but he, he'll be awesome. I can't believe he's going to be in the room.
Oh my
in
gosh.
The action room.
He's coming
room.
To the Action Room studio. He's also been in the X-Files. He provided a recurring voiceover role on the classic Bruce Timm Batman animated series.
Now,
he's been in countless, he did Stephen King movies, he's worked with all these stars.
Now, back to Blade Runner.
Yes.
Now, Blade Runner, I have to say, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say it's probably my favorite film ever.
Oh yeah, I've heard
now,
you say that.
Who,
yeah.
who do you have a favorite film, would you say? Like, I mean,
my favorite film might be Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Okay.
I think
good.
That is
That's
the greatest action-adventure film of that tone ever made. And both our favorite films have Harrison Ford in them.
And I think we have to, and what year was Raiders?
I want to say 83, but I'm not sure.
Was it after Blade Runner? It might have been, I guess. Yeah, maybe
That's
it was.
Good question.
No. I think Raiders was like 80. Wasn't
yeah, Raiders
it?
Might be 80.
And then 82 was Blade Runner. But in any case,
And Jedi is 83.
Right. We should definitely do a show, if there's ever a screening of Blade Runner, and just focus around Blade Runner.
Right.
And then we could do one for Raiders or something
we
like
did,
that.
We did. You and I went and saw the director's cut release of Blade Runner that was theatrical release about 2 years ago.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Anytime anyone says, I haven't seen Blade Runner, which I can't believe, but there are people out there who haven't seen it, especially people that are geeks that haven't seen Blade Runner.
Please,
I
mean, consider yourself spanked.
It's kind
of
like
go see Blade
it's
Runner.
The Citizen Kane of like this culture
of sci-fi
you know?
And pop culture.
And so I would say that it's
Rolling Stone named it one of the best films, if not the best film ever made, about 5 years ago.
I don't even want people to just see it on DVD. I want to say to them, wait until there's a screening and see it in the theater. Yeah. You know what I mean? So,
if you need to see it on DVD too.
Okay? Yeah, no, if you have to.
And the soundtrack by Vangelis, who also did Chariots of Fire.
Everything. And that final scene, which is, if you didn't know, that's what we were spoofing, Tears and Rain, with Rutger Hauer. Just one of the most, I cry. It's such a great scene.
Yes.
And somebody spoofed it, the Lego character spoofed
it
online.
Yes, the Lego Tears and Rain.
All right, so we'll take a break.
Okay.
And we'll come back with William Sanderson.
I'm going to towel down. All right, action fans, we are back in the Action Room, and we are excited and we are honored to have Mr. William Sanderson join us right here live in the Action Room studio. William Sanderson, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm honored to be here.
Did you like the resounding studio audience applause?
It's perfect for me.
Now, William Sanderson is a legendary actor. He was the character that created the replicants in the Harrison Ford, Ripley Scott film Blade Runner.
Specifically, he was a genetic designer, J.F. Sebastian. Is
right,
that correct?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Both right.
And and also, I think I even knew this before I saw Blade Runner, was your character of Larry on Newhart.
Well, thank you for remembering. That's the longest job, and it was great to have a regular job with Bob Newhart and my brother Daryl and my other brother Daryl.
How long was that gig as a
It
job?
Lasted from 82 to 90.
Wow. That is a long run.
Yeah, and they won't let me forget it either.
Yeah, that happens, right?
Tomorrow somebody is interviewing me about the last show, which came in number one. But
The final Newhart episode.
Yeah. But I love talking about myself. You can probably tell.
Well, we're actors. We understand.
Thank you for mentioning Blade Runner, though. It's nice to be in a cult film.
Oh, yes, we're definitely going to be mentioning a lot about Blade Runner in this interview.
We love that film. And you've also been a major supporting role in Deadwood, the David Milch project, and True Blood.
Well, Deadwood, the great writer David Milch, from New York, put me in every show, and I never had more fun in my life. And,
I can imagine.
A lot of wonderful actors and actresses. And Then they put me on True Blood, which I haven't done much on, but I'm keeping the money.
Right. Now, is there a return to True Blood in the works? Because a friend of mine, who's much more up on the show than I am, she said his character, he just got fed up. He said, there's too much crazy stuff in this town, and you left.
Well, they warned me not to say too much.
Okay.
People will have to watch, but they didn't kill me.
I'll give that clue.
But it's part of the reason I'm probably in New York. We had wonderful actors from all over the world, but a lot of them from New York, and they come from the theater, and I said, I better go back there. Maybe it'll rub off on me.
Wow.
Well, explain your character. So it's Sheriff Bud Dearborn?
Yeah, and he didn't do much in the book by Charlene Harris, but he survived for a while, and I didn't study the books, but I looked to see if he got killed off. But it's
right.
just a loose blueprint, though.
Right,
the great
right.
writer Alan Ball,
who won an Academy
Award for American Beauty and created 6 Feet Under.
Yes.
It's his baby, and I just try to stay out of trouble.
Right, right.
Would you consider, like, growing up, did you buy comics? Would you consider yourself kind of a nerd or a geek?
Were you into
up?
Some of these
oh,
themes, these genres?
I was as deluded then as I am now. I wanted to play basketball, football,
oh, okay.
baseball.
Oh,
and
so a different kind of delusion.
Until I got to high school and I lettered, but the two guards ahead of me made all city. I stole it from somebody. I wanted to be 7 foot and invincible, and I'm 5'8 and nervous.
So how did you get involved in acting?
You weren't the bookish kid. That
means. I had a friend who was in the theater, and my mother said, why don't you get a season pass? So I would go see her and see these wonderful actors from around the country hanging in the bars, and I thought, both on stage and off, they seemed to be having so much fun. But it was after I went in the Army and graduated from law school that I moved to New York to pursue acting. I got a late start.
So, and you guys, explain, Tony, you know...
Right.
How did
William? Will, can we call you Bill?
Bill's fine.
Bill Sanderson, my acting teacher, who I've been studying with for several years, is Sandy Shurin.
She's a saint.
She's a saint. She's a wonderful teacher, leader, lady, and she cast you in one of your first, if not your first, New York theater project. Is that correct?
Well, it was one that I got my agent out of. It was called Insect Comedy and had some great people, and even real actors and actresses came to see it. But for some reason, some agents took an interest, and I got the signed with Michael Bloom at the time.
Right, right.
But I'm always going to be grateful for her. She's very tough, you know.
Oh, she's very tough.
She threatened to fire me, as you might have heard.
yes.
And then the next day, she came back in her sweet style and said, I've never seen an actor come up with as many inventive things. But, you know, that's what they do. They threaten you and then they support you.
And
but
then they,
she and her husband, Bruce, are just great people.
Yes.
And I saw you do a monologue in the class. It was great.
Was it
from Arcadia?
I want to say, is it Tom Stoppard, I think?
Oh, my goodness. And
you're making Tony blush. I can't believe
well,
on
I,
the radio, it's
I,
coming
I
through.
I said I have to suck up. Because I've been in Hollywood so long.
You
know the difference. No, genuinely, I was really impressed.
Well, thank you.
And I'll be asking you for a job. One secret
when
is...
When producer Mike and I are the next Hollywood moguls, we will definitely employ
you. I have a question for you. You've been in the business for so long. What is it like getting residuals from so many projects? Do you constantly get checks, or how does that work?
Well, I get a lot of tiny ones.
Right.
My friend gets some big ones. He I think he worked one day on Independence Day and got $28,000.
Whoa!
Wow. But the TV residuals aren't as great as the movies, but
they sustain us,
and I'm grateful. But to back up to my sucking up, you know, the difference between success and failure in Hollywood is knowing who to suck up to.
Right, I can imagine.
But
can
your
imagine.
Question about they opened a bar called Residuals. In
oh, really?
Yeah, and
really?
I learned very quickly. I got kind of popular on Newhart, and it was a bunch of out-of-work actors. They wanted to kick my rear end because I was working.
Wow.
And I would buy them drinks and like some...
To keep them at bay.
New York writer got some success years ago, and she wanted to call her friends and say, look at this treasure I found. But, boy, it backfired on me. You just keep your mouth shut.
Wow. So there are, like, I guess even people you grew up with or people that started to resent you?
I've had a drunk call me and say, you're too successful to call your old friends. But most people... people are great, and I'm the beneficiary of a classmate in law school letting me use his apartment, and it's not exactly free, but you know, I most people are great, but you know, I'm just glad I survived some popularity there. I took myself a little too seriously.
And what was Bob Newhart like to work with?
He's a great gentleman, very bright. If anything, funnier off camera.
Oh, yeah?
Wow, could tell risque jokes to the audience. He liked me, but if he didn't, you didn't always survive. You know?
No, I mean, I didn't know him from the first Newhart show, or the, what was the first one called? Bob Newhart? What was it called?
They were all iterations of his name.
Yeah, with Suzanne Pleshette, bless her heart, as she passed away. She's a great actress, played his wife. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bob was a very bright man. He was in accounting, and he's a jazz musician. He can play the drums.
Wow.
So
in one of the shows, he played a cartoonist, which, you know, us, we were, you know, as kids, we were into comic books, movies, all this creative stuff. So I remember being drawn to it because he's a cartoonist. No one on TV is a cartoonist, you know.
With Judd Hirsch, another favorite actor.
Oh,
man.
Yes.
And that show didn't last as long as ours, but just makes me grateful.
Now, I have a question. I definitely have to ask you something about Blade Runner.
He's a huge fan of
Ridley
Scott.
It's probably one of my favorite films, though, Blade Runner. Well, so it's an honor to have you here.
Thank you. It's an honor to be in it.
Now, was it? I mean, I know Ridley Scott is known for his like long shoots and whatnot. Now, I had heard that there was a break at the time between the time that they were going to start filming and then they continued because of a strike of some kind.
Well, there was a lot of controversy with the crew. Mm. We did go over the schedule, and I wore 2 hours of latex makeup.
You were supposed to be premature aging.
They called it Methuselah syndrome, but I tried to think of Einstein, and I tried to think of this little boy who came from Florida to visit Disneyland, and he looked 70 years old and walked on the balls of his feet. And I remember Ridley, I was off the film a little while, and I came back, and Ridley said, "Are you walking like you walked before?" But it was really fun to work with a visionary like Ridley Scott.
Oh, man.
He'd come down on you, but I had no problems, you know.
Yeah.
And what was
yeah.
everybody else like, Rutger Hauer and Daryl Hannah?
Well, Daryl Hannah was 19. I have some drawings she made of my character and hers, and she brought a beautiful actress named Rachel Ward on the set.
Right.
And they were striking, and of course I was a paranoid, eccentric, as you said, but she was very sweet, and I still miss her. I think she lives part of the year in Colorado, but I sometimes see some of them, and they invite us to autograph shows. I try to avoid them, but
yeah. Smart. Do you do much of that?
No, not much, but you know, I have ups and downs, and I love the cash, man. You don't give it to the accountant, you keep it.
Yeah, no, totally.
Yes, it's off the books.
So, and what are you getting most recognized for, would you say?
Well,
Blade Runner or
probably The Voice more than anything. But
right. Have you ever played
a
non-Southern?
I try not to think of that, but years ago when I'd come to New York, they did ask me about Blade Runner. In the middle of the country, they might talk about Newhart.
Right.
And I would turn. We were shooting a Stephen King film, and I said, I got embarrassed, and I said, "Well, this is actress just came from Broadway." And the guy said, "Bill, here in Missouri, we don't get a lot of Broadway shows."
I don't know. Is there anything? I mean, I'm just fascinated endlessly. If you have any stories about, you know, you didn't mention specifically Rutger Hauer. Was he an interesting person to work
with?
He
was fascinating.
That was his first American film, I believe.
Yeah, he speaks five languages, you know.
Wow.
So I was in awe of him. He once argued about 30 minutes to change the scene, and I'm trying to assert myself. I said, "I like it the way it is, Ridley." Not even practically getting what Rutger did. And Ridley told me later he changed one thing. But Rutger was such a fascinating asset to the film.
Definitely.
And he helped choreograph that ending.
Oh,
but there's a story about...
I have to say, one of the best endings ever, like, of Blade Runner. It's just
amazing. I liked it. But, you know, I think Pauline Kael said, I think it was she, who said it was a fascinating failure when it came out. But and it then the vision became true of L.A. city on overload, all this speaking different gibberish downtown, right. The riots in L.A., so sometimes it takes a while to come around.
Yeah. I have just one final, maybe you can end this argument. What's better for Blade Runner, the one with the narration or the one without?
You know, the two different
versions. I tend to think, because I love Ridley, that he liked it better without the narration. But can I add real quickly that one of the dumbest things I ever did, I don't know, it's like you get mad at an old girlfriend and you're going to get even with a new one. They asked me to participate in the last commentary for the DVD.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, no, I don't want to. You know, I'm tired. Every single actor but me participated, and including Harrison Ford.
Wow.
And it was the dumbest thing. So if I can end, whether you can survive or not, to the extent that their talent exceeds their need to self-destruct. It was stupid. My son named his business the Blade Runner. It's a lawn service. But for no other reason. Something was bothering me. Deadwood, they didn't put me in the photos for 3 years. Now, they didn't do it on True Blood. Somebody hates me, but I got the T-shirt for him.
Yes. He has. I want you to listeners to know, he has a T-shirt.
Go to my website and get it.
Oh, yes. Oh, let's talk about your site. It's williamsanderson.net.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And your T-shirt reads, I hate, or why I hate William Sanderson.
It's really silly, but see.
It's a picture of you as the sheriff.
You speak German?
I'm half German, but I don't speak it. Let me see if I can read it, though. Ganze Leben ist in Schindel.
Schwandel. All the world is a fraud.
Greta Garbo.
Greta Garbo said she didn't want to be alone. She wanted to be left alone. Ganze Leben ist in Schwindel, I think. You can see that I only do Southern accent.
Yeah, I don't even.
But anyway.
Words to live by.
It reminds me of. For every 30 people that don't like me, there's 50 that never heard of me.
Yes.
Whatever that means.
Well, I'll have to say, this is your chance, since this is audio, if you have any commentary about Blade Runner that you want to add.
We could insert a commentary.
The best I can come up with is nice to be in a cult film.
Yeah.
Very
and
good.
Yes.
I agree.
Well, thank you so much, Bill Sanderson.
Thank you both, Mike and Tony.
We've got to give an applause.
Yes. I'll applaud you.
So do you want to go to the break? We'll come back with the nerd news.
All right. We'll be right back. Thank you again, Bill Sanderson.
Thank you.
Remember that old commercial? You sank my battleship.
I do, Tony.
Well, there is an amazing new website, and it has nothing to do with Battleship, but it is called YouBentMyWookie.com.
That sounds wrong.
You bent my Wookie. What if my Wookie got bent? What would happen?
I don't know, but it seems like you'd be
in pain somehow.
Out of commission for a while.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh. Please don't bend my Wookie, action listeners, but go to this amazing pop culture website with all the latest news in geek culture, toys, and collectibles, YouBentMyWookie.com.
And you know what they have right now?
Oh, yeah?
An exclusive. And those are important for websites.
Exclusive, yes.
An exclusive
No
interview.
One else has this.
No one else. An interview with Corey Edwards, who's directing the Fraggle Rock movie.
Oh, my God.
I loved Fraggle Rock as a kid.
Oh, I completely love Fraggle Rock. Right. Gobo Moki Wembley Booba Red.
All right, so.
So my Wookie is bent.
It is.
Ow!
Bend your Wookie and go to YouBentMyWookie.com.
All right, action fans, we are back in the action room, and we're very excited to be back. Oh, Producer Mike, I actually forgot to tell you one thing about my vacation earlier.
Yes, Tony.
Well, I actually was in Turkey.
Oh, yeah.
And I tried to tune into the action room, and do you know our show has been dubbed in many foreign countries?
Oh, yeah, I know.
I heard it in Turkish.
It's all my voice. I dub your part, too.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of like Ren and Stimpy. Remember when, who's the guy that does all the voices?
John Kay?
No, Billy West.
Billy West. John Kay created.
But he was doing Stimpy,
and
then John Kay did Ren, and when John Kay left, he took over Ren's voice.
Okay.
So I take over your voice when it's overseas.
That's awesome. And, it was so surreal to hear the action room in Turkish.
Yeah, no, I work hard on this show. I have to tell you.
You should hire someone. And, well, we can't pay that.
Oh, no, we can't pay anybody, no. They work cheap. They work even cheaper over there.
You can't farm that out.
right. So it was a thrill to...
We work like we're outsourcing. We outsource ourselves.
We outsource to ourselves. But it was a thrill to hear the following intro in Turkish.
Right, which won't be the case right now, but
no.
Here it is.
You can dream of it in Turkish.
Nerd News.
Okay, in the Nerd News, let me tell you, it was not as busy a Nerd News, I can't say week, 3.5 days, as the previous Nerd News.
But I can talk a little bit about this first story.
Yeah.
Because I have my own personal
take on
opinion
it.
On Mr. Edward Norton.
Edward Norton. We're speaking, action fans, about the fact that Marvel Studios, first a bunch of rumors hit, not just Rich Johnson's site, but comic book resources and Newsarama, that Edward Norton may not be in the Avengers movie.
Now, I heard that he had a meeting with Joss Whedon. Does that mean Joss Whedon is for sure going to be the Avengers guy, pretty much?
It seems all but officially
confirmed. Yeah.
So the rumor is that Joss Whedon met with Edward Norton. Now, everyone thought that Edward Norton was maybe iffy from the beginning, but that they should ideally get him. Apparently, he had a great meeting with Joss Whedon. He was super psyched about it. Joss Whedon was so excited to have him on board. And then the studio stepped in and said, actually, we don't know that we want Edward Norton. And the rumors are, A, because of potentially price, that he's going to ask for too much money. You have all these other big stars like Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans. Well, Chris Evans is not going to command as much money. But Marvel Studios, so the big rumor was they're going to get a cheaper guy to play Bruce Banner. Because think about it, he'll probably be CGI Hulk for most of the movie anyway.
But he's also going to be probably a known actor, not like a completely unknown.
Well, no, they actually said the word unknown. Then, as the comic book fans reeled from this news, going, why can't you just have Edward Norton? Why can't you just pay him a little money, whatever? Marvel Studios released a press statement saying he definitely won't be in the movie. And not only that, but they gave a reason. They explicitly said, it's not price. This is so weird. They said, we need a team player.
Wow.
Thereby hinting at the fact that when he did the Hulk movie, he rewrote the entire script and kind of apparently took over maybe the final edit.
Right.
And he has that reputation as being someone who cares a lot, puts a lot of effort in, and can kind of commandeer and rewrite and maybe sort of unofficially co-direct.
And officially be an asshole. Yeah.
Well, you and I have talked about this in the past. Let's talk about this. Is he someone who is arrogant, or is he someone who is really good and wants it to be the best it can
be? Because on some level, they're right. You know, he has to, and that's fine. If he wants to do his own thing and he wants to dominate the projects that he's on, is understandable. But it is true. He has to be a team player. And the fact that someone's not a team player in certain areas just kind of makes him an asshole. I mean, especially given the fact that this is such a huge deal. This means so much to so many fans.
Yeah.
He knows he's going to alienate people by not doing this. But of course, he's sticking to his guns, and he's kind of a prince, kind of like the singer Prince. He wants to do his own thing. But here, specifically, the personal relationship, the situation I had with Edward Norton was when we got IDs for people in San Diego Comic-Con.
A couple of years ago.
People like Robert Downey Jr., Liv Tyler,
Gwyneth
Paltrow, John Favreau. All these people were happy to do the IDs. You know
what
I mean?
For us, for our show.
Even Matt Groening, the Simpsons guy, who busted my balls a little bit, he still talked to me and stuff.
Yeah.
I remember asking Edward Norton, he was like, no. I don't want to do this. You know, now he wasn't like an angry asshole
about
it. But
he had a little attitude.
Yeah, and I was just like, oh, come on, just an ID or whatever. He's like, no, I just don't want it. And it's like, fine, he doesn't have to. But that, you can
tell. You remember.
Well,
that.
Not only do I remember, but you can tell if everyone else is doing something, he's got to do his own thing. He is not a team player, and I could totally see that being an issue.
Wow.
And so it's kind of like, who the fuck are you? Robert Downey and all these people are going to do this. Why can't you just, like, bite the bullet and do it? And I heard that this was American History X. He kind of had the similar situation.
Yeah, this is where the reputation started with American History X. Now, part of me wonders, what if the comic fans all, you know, pray or light candles or hope, and what if Edward Norton comes back and says, I'll do it, I'll be a team player, and I'll charge a little less. Do you think they would change their mind? Or now that they've officially said no to him?
I think anything's possible, but from what you're saying, he said he would do it, right?
Yeah, he was into it.
Okay.
And the studios said,
All right, well, here's the deal. If they said, something else has happened that we're not privy to.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There must have been something behind the
scenes. So my guess is that no matter what they paid, you know, at this point, I just feel like he would come on board, but he'd just be kind of a dick about it, you know, and
yeah,
just be like,
yeah.
Like, I didn't see the Hulk movie. Was it any good?
It's entertaining. It's very good. Yeah,
and
it's
he's
very
good
entertaining.
It.
It's not perfect, but it's
I mean,
arguably better than Ang Lee's.
What did you hear about what he rewrote, or do you know what it was before he came on board or anything like that?
He wrote it to be a little bit more like the TV show and its formula.
Okay.
And he incorporated a few clever bits. I mean, I think the rewrite was probably ultimately better.
Right.
I mean, what we saw was quite good.
I mean,
and I know he rewrote about 60% of the movie.
It's one of these things where it's kind of like, you respect him, but it's like, come on, man.
Yeah,
can't you
yeah.
just play with us? Like, why do you have to be such a dick, you know?
But I just thought the balls of Marvel Studios to publicly, before the entire entertainment world, say he's not a team player. That's them's fighting words.
He must have really been a dick in some
way. Something
must
have happened.
Somebody, because, like, yeah, they could have easily just been like, gone the safe route and just like, we had some differences or, you know, whatever. But they called him out on it. It's like, that's pretty
now,
crazy.
They said maybe it would be an unknown. I don't know. Nathan Fillion, we have here in our little news brief, but Nathan Fillion has been talked about for Hank Pym.
Okay.
For Ant-Man or
but
Giant-Man,
I'm just
whatever.
Thinking Joss is going to bring some of his people over because now he's going to do the Avengers movie.
Yeah,
or something.
Nathan Fillion wouldn't fit Bruce Banner, I don't think. He's too cool. He's too much of a macho.
So do you have
leading.
Any suggestions who you think
God,
might?
Who could from the Joss Whedon stable or just anyone?
Anybody.
Joss Whedon stable.
No, or anybody.
I don't know. I don't know that I have a Bruce Banner.
I mean, who
casting.
Is kind of like... Ed Norton is pretty perfect. So who...
Yeah.
Like, some kind of a weakish kind of... but
Steve Buscemi.
Right, yeah. The comedy
too old,
version.
Yeah, the goofy version. I don't know. It needs to be someone who's like a... Has repressed rage or could play repressed rage.
Yeah, what's his name? Ed Norton is perfect.
Yeah,
I mean, that's all
his
he's
whole career
playing.
Is these dual repressed, you know, psycho characters.
Straight, starting with, what is it, Primal Fear?
Primal Fear,
that's
yeah.
Fucking
that's
great.
Really... His whole character arc has been dual identity.
First time seeing that, and when he turns, you're
yeah.
just like, whoa.
Yeah.
And, you know, but anyway.
Anyway,
oh, well.
So we don't know. But one fan said it on some message board. He said, Marvel... This you only get one first Avengers movie. You only get one chance to do this. Hopefully there'll be an Avengers 2 or Avengers 3, but that's not guaranteed, you know. So we really would like to get this right and make it wonderful. And it is funny that Joss has still not been confirmed as the director, but I guess he is.
Yeah, no, it sounds
Joss
like he is.
Joss's son, who's now a writer for some comics, also implied, yeah, my dad and I are working on this, but he didn't officially say it. So,
right.
Anyway.
Last thing, we want to do a shout-out to Patrick Meaney and Amber Yoder,
yeah.
who are the producer and director of the Grant Morrison documentary, who we had on the show. We
yes.
interviewed them, and they're going to come back before the actual documentary premieres in the New York
yeah.
Comic-Con. But they had a write-up, right?
Yeah. They were covered in MTV's Splash Page, which is MTV's pop culture geeky movie geek, you know, comic book,
Can you say
everything.
Geek one more time?
Geeky. Well, it's hard to categorize,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
but... Yeah, they got a distributor. I believe the distributor is called Halo 8,
mm-hmm.
and I'm unclear as to whether or not that means theatrical or just DVD, but either way, they got a distributor, and we know how hard it is for any indie film to get a distributor.
And this would be a relatively big documentary.
Oh, yeah.
Because Grant Morrison maybe isn't known by everyone, but as far as the comic book world, he's one of the bigger writers.
And he's hitting the mainstream more and more. You have The Hollywood Reporter, Variety, Time Magazine, Spin, Rolling Stone, all praising him for years. Producer Mike, you couldn't get me to shut up about Grant Morrison for all the years that I've known you, and I'm so glad that Grant Morrison is getting his mainstream breakthrough, which hopefully will be this movie.
And what is it called?
It's called Grant Morrison Talking with Gods.
And what's crazy is...
Because he talks with gods.
They were on this show.
Yes, you can hear their episode in our archives.
Yeah, we should have gotten the number. I don't know.
It's
but,
in there.
Yeah.
You'll see their names.
And MTV covered them, which means MTV's right around the corner in covering us. That's all I got to say.
That's right. That's right. We saw ahead of the trend.
Right. Yeah, we kind of had an exclusive
and
on
them. I knew of Patrick through a Grant Morrison like message board kind of a thing, to summarize it very quickly. And he and I got in touch a couple of years ago, and when I found out that he was the guy that was doing the documentary that I'd heard about, I was so excited for him.
Yeah. And I had known Amber in a weird way in my own travels,
right.
And then we just happened to know the same. It's crazy.
It's kismet. Crazy. It's destiny.
Anyway, all right, so let's end this show.
That wraps up the nerd news.
And, of course... Next week, or rather next episode, which
yes.
will be Friday, July
16th. Friday,
16th,
July 16th.
Olivia Munn, we interview her for The Action Room.
Let's just say it again. Olivia Munn.
Olivia Munn.
Coming Friday.
And we call her Thirst Quenching Olivia
Thirst
Munn.
Thirst Quenching. Wow. So,
by the way, if nobody knows who Olivia Munn is, she's the host of Attack of the Show.
And she was in Iron Man 2. Yeah. She was in Date Night. She's in the new correspondent for The Daily Show. She's going to take over the world.
And anyway, if you just look her up. She's hot.
Yeah, yeah. So, and thank you again to William Sanderson. You can check out his website, williamsanderson.net.
Yes, he was amazing.
He was so amazing. Thank you so much. And
I can't believe he was in the room.
He was in the action room.
An actor, one of the main cast members from Blade Runner, was in my room.
Should I flip over the chair again? No.
I shouldn't have said it, my room. It's the action room. Sorry.
All right. So as always, thank you for listening, action fans. Join us on our Facebook fan page. Follow us on Twitter, engage us in conversation on Twitter, and tune in next episode Friday.
And newsflash, we're going to be selling the chair that William Sanderson sat in on eBay. So.
Right.